Prince Charles has spoken on many occasions about his dislike of modern architecture, most recently in a TV special that aired on a lot of PBS stations. Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg says what's been less well-publicized, in this country at least, is the prince's equally emphatic dislike of modern English.
A year or so ago, Prince Charles made headlines when he complained to the press that his staff members were incapable of writing a coherent sentence and declared that the British schools were remiss in their duty. Not long ago, he renewed the criticism in a speech that was reprinted in the Manchester Guardian Weekly. Not surprisingly, Charles came down squarely on the side of tradition. As he put it, if you stand up and talk about the importance of our heritage and the lessons to be learned from our forebears, you are at once accused of having a quaint nostalgia for a picturesque, irrelevant past. Well, I'm not afraid of being considered old-fashioned, which is why I'm standing here at this lectern wearing a double-breasted suit and turnips to my trousers. That's cuffs to us. Charles went on, "The English language is an enormously precious legacy to be handed on carefully. We have rejected quality in expression, just as we have rejected quality in the buildings in which we work and educate. We have arrived at a dismal wasteland of banality, cliché, and casual obscenity." Charles is old-fashioned, of course. What else would you call somebody who still thinks it's démodé to wear cuffs and double-breasted suits? It's clear that Charles has never seen an episode of Miami Vice. But coming from him, the attitude's understandable. The prince has a vested interest in championing quaint traditions and antiquated institutions, after all. He knows where his crumpets are buttered. But it's more troubling when you hear middle-class American critics talking about the English language as if it were a kind of intellectual family china. A couple of years ago, for example, John Simon wrote, "There is a morality of language, an obligation to preserve and nurture the niceties, the fine distinctions that have been handed down to us." Of course, nostalgia is as old as change itself. I'm sure many of the early Druids viewed Stonehenge with alarm. What was wrong with the old wood one? And 200 years ago, you could find Dr. Johnson complaining, "The rite derived from ancient days, with thoughtless reverence we praise." But nostalgia is a particularly insidious form of regression, which distorts both past and present. A lot of my wife's architectural practice involves doing remodels of San Francisco Victorians. Her clients are beguiled by the chair rails and moldings and filigrees of those quaint old houses, but they don't want any part of the hives of interior spaces where the Victorians lived out their cramped lives. They want open family rooms with plenty of skylights. In language, too, we tend to see the past through the selective filter of literary memory. We form our impression of the English of the 19th century on the basis of Dickens and James, while the yellow journalism and sentimental romances of the period have been forgotten. In fact, it should be a consolation to realize that future ages will look back fondly on the language of the second half of the 20th century. If history's any guide, this will be known as the age of Bellow and Beckett, and not mercifully of Haig and Quayle. Of course we should esteem the legacy of the past. The danger is in letting veneration turn into fetishism. This is the mentality that's brought us the kitsch of Ralph Lauren, Laura Ashley, and architects like Robert Stern. And in language, it makes for the sort of writers who never use a slang word without putting quotation marks around it, and who go out of their way ostentatiously to avoid splitting an infinitive. As Dryden wrote in 1700, when he was attacked for rewriting Chaucer in contemporary language, words are not like landmarks, so sacred as never to be removed.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.